It was a circle with a crosshairs through its middle. Probably instantly recognizable to anyone over the age of 50, the logo once inspired a dread that had significantly eroded with time. It didn't matter that no one alive would see him wearing the hood. He took grim satisfaction in its lethal symbolism. Within 10 minutes, he reached the location he'd carefully selected on an earlier visit and laid the body down with a reverence that belied the violent manner in which the person had died. He took a deep breath and held it as he undid the telephone wire holding the bundle closed and unwrapped the plastic. She was young, with features that had been attractive 2 days prior. The woman was not much to look at now. The soft blonde hair fell away from the greenish-tinged skin, revealing closed eyes and bloated cheeks. Had the eyes been open, they might have still held the startled gaze of the deceased as she endured her own murder, an experience replicated roughly 30,000 times each year in America. He slid the plastic all the way free and laid the woman on her back. Then he let out his breath, fought the urge to retch caused by the stench of the body, and sucked in another lungful of air. Using one of his gloved hands and his light, he searched for and found the small forked branch that he'd earlier placed in the bramble nearby. He used this to support the woman's forearm, which he'd positioned such that it was pointing to the sky. The body's rigor mortis, though rapidly fading, had made the task difficult, but he was strong and had finally levered the stiffened limb to the correct angle. He took the watch out of his pocket, checked with his flashlight to make sure it was set properly, and placed it around the dead woman's wrist. Though far from a religious man, he knelt over the body and muttered a brief prayer, cupping his hand over his mouth and nose as he did so. "You weren't directly responsible, but you were all I had. You didn't die in vain. And I believe you're actually better off." Did he really believe what he had just said? Maybe not. Maybe it didn't matter. He looked at the dead woman's face, studying her features scrupulously as though a scientist observing a particularly fascinating experiment. He had never killed another person before. He'd made it quick and, he hoped, painless. In the dull, misty night, the woman seemed surrounded by a yellowish glow, as though she'd already become a spirit. He drew farther back and examined the area all around, checking for any extraneous items that might lead to evidence against him. He discovered only a piece of cloth from his hood that had caught on a bush near where the body lay. "Careless. You can't afford that." He placed it in his pocket. He spent several more minutes looking for other such items nearing microscopic size. In the world of criminal investigation, it was these forensic no-see-ums that did one in. A single drop of blood, semen, or saliva, a smudge of fingerprint, a hair follicle with a bit of DNA-littered root attached, and the police could be reading you your rights while prosecutors circled hungrily nearby. Unfortunately, even full awareness of that reality offered little protection. Every criminal, no matter how careful, left potentially incriminating material at the crime scene. Thus, he'd taken great care to have no direct physical contact with the dead woman, as though she were an infectious agent that could cause a fatal disease. He rolled up the plastic and pocketed the telephone cord, checked the watch once more, and then slowly made his way back to his car. Behind him lay the dead woman, her hand upraised to the watery heavens. Her watch was slightly luminous in the dark and made a dull beacon for her new resting place. She wouldn't remain undiscovered for long. Dead bodies above ground rarely did, even in places as isolated as this. As he drove off, the hooded man used his finger to trace the symbol on his hood, making the sign of the cross at the same time. The crosshairs symbol also appeared on the face of the watch he'd placed on the dead woman's wrist. That should certainly get a rise out of them. He took a breath full of excitement as well as dread. For years, he had imagined that this day would never come. For years, his courage had faltered. Now that the first step had been taken, he felt a great sense of empowerment and liberation. He shifted into third gear and sped up, his tires grabbing the slicked roadway and holding firm as the darkness swallowed up the lights of his blue VW. He wanted to get to where he was going as fast as possible.